Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. How are you doing? Sorry, there was some problem at the beginning of the show. No sound is still a problem with Odyssey for the live. I've asked them to look for the offline issue, but also for the live issue. I hope they can fix it because I have to start the show, reset stream, and then if I could just have the reset stream button that I could click on before the show begins, that would allow me not to have a false start. Harold sends a super chat. He says, fuck bees! It's a strong position. Yeah, fuck bees. I mean, they are a successful life form. I respect bees for what they are. But yes, they are our enemy. They can sting us. It sucks. I will say fuck bees with Harold. Hawk had been sending a super chat during the night, an excellent question. He says, how would you explain war, for instance, Russia versus Ukraine, to a child? For example, to a 5 to 6 year old and to a 12 to 13 year old. Two countries fighting is how I used to see it as most children, but this is often not the fundamental truth of the matter. That is an excellent question, and I wouldn't claim that I have a final answer to it. Depends on the child, depends on what the child already knows. But I guess some guidance that I would have concerning this, I would say you can focus on the idea that war always has a reason. And so it's not just people fighting for no reason, which is how the leftist mind gets brought up, you know. It's just for religious matters and religious beliefs, and it's a religious war. And the reality is that humans have systems of control over their society. And these systems of control do not expand beyond their borders. Whatever ends up being the border of your country, of your city, of your state, of your federal government, ends up being the place to which your power extends. And this creates functional units. Now, I'm not saying that those are the terms you should use for a child, but I'm saying the first step to explaining something to a child is conceiving of it properly. I conceive of war as a conflict emerging from the desire of one of the side of the borders to be controlling, to be extending its reach, the reach of its control to the other side of the border, simply because human societal machines are more efficient when they have parts in them. For example, it may be interesting for Putin to get southern Ukraine because of the Black Sea access, because of various strategic considerations and economic considerations. It's interesting for Putin to have Nord Stream 2 because here's a path to Europe that passes through only international waters and therefore doesn't get subjected to a taxation by any intermediary countries. So basically, you have to think of countries as highly functional control units, but these control units have a problem that their control doesn't extend outside of them. And so you always have two choices between two given countries. Fair collaboration. Let's say that probably the way Russia sees it, Belarus is an example of a country that's not worth invading because they are fully cooperative. They are doing whatever Russia would want them to do. They are allowing passage of Russian forces, giving some forces themselves. So Belarus is an example of when a country chooses willfully to submit to the control of another country, therefore becoming a subset of it, even if there's an official border remaining between the two countries. So when the country resists, that's because the country itself has an interest in sovereign resistance or is being manipulated by some other country to resist, which I guess is the best description for Ukraine. It is a country that is being asked to resist to almost against its will, or at least certainly against its initial financial capacities. You know, Ukraine wouldn't have had the means to resist up to now. on its own. So it resists on the bill of America, because America has a has an interest in controlling this country, just like Putin has an interest. So war really is the conflict that emerges when there are more than one force who want control of a given spot of land. And it has to do with resource transfer, with people's existence, and it does intermingle locally with people's tradition, people's language, how they speak, what they feel they are part of. But all of this are just components contributing to the initial conflict and inflaming it into an actual war. So all in all, that's the adult version of what a war is. So how do you explain this to a child? Well, perhaps the best parallel that a child can definitely connect to in their life is if they have a brother or a sister, or if they have friends and they have been exposed to the idea of a given toy being appropriated by their friends or their brother or sister. And you have already all of the points here. In the appropriation of a toy by a child, you have all of the concepts we've just described. So he took my banana, I wanted that banana, I'm gonna cry. So we are talking about control, we are talking about boundary, we are talking about borders, where a child who appropriates a banana in his hand considers that it's part of his property. And the violation of the other side, who wanted control of that banana too, is a violation that leads to further escalation. So I guess that you can say to a child, war emerges because there are conflicts over things that people want. And when two people really want something, like a toy, someone will take it first, the other will feel that he's had this thing stolen from him, he's going to grab it back, and then there can be a conflict. Conflict being the final step of resolution where one of the interested parties will put the other in danger or in fear of danger to see how much they're willing to defend that thing. And with the escalation of force, eventually the stronger will succeed at getting what they want. That's how I would explain, perhaps to a 12 years old. A 6 years old, well, you can just take a part of this explanation, I guess. Maybe not the final black pill of might makes right, but perhaps just the concept of, you see, sometimes you want a tie, sometimes the other person wants a tie. And so if the two people do not coordinate to find a way to share the toy, there could be a fight for the toy, and that's what war is. But war is happening between adults and at the population and geographic level. John Drake says, there are layers of interest that lay outside and over countries as well, for example, international banks and corporations. Absolutely. So the seal of the border is certainly not perfect, but it is a good indicator of, if you're going to have power outside of these borders, it's going to be either financial power that can hide and flow and disappear, or it's going to be military power of some kind, or consensual power in the kind of deals and economic relationship with other countries. Go away, says, so looks like NATO and Russia are going to share the banana in the end. Well, yeah, we are seeing a big banana developing at the south of Ukraine. And today Putin declares it is ours forever. So that is a clear message. He is saying that this is not, we won't even initiate a negotiation in which you talk of taking these four regions back. So we are talking about Kherson, Zaporizhzhia, LPR, and DPR. Putin has made a decree and a speech to include them in the Russian Federation. Now it's all a matter of the politicians voting for it in their political system, but he says he is not afraid at all that this would happen. So It will happen. These four regions have been made part of Russia today. This is freaking funny. Ariana Grande used to look like Ariel from The Little Mermaid. Now she looks like Ariel from The Little Mermaid. I didn't realize that Ariana Grande had started so wide. I mean, this is unbelievable. This is really a picture, and I checked it on Google because I wanted to be sure. This used to be Ariana Grande. In fact, much more normally developed female, if you want my opinion. White. The jawline is, I wouldn't say fat, but fat compared to her new jawline. And this is sculpting, basically. This she must have had some kind of surgery, because normally you look older as you get older. She looks more like a child as she gets older. So I think she's undergone some degree of modification to that jawline, the cheek fat. Perhaps she has just gone through these extreme diets, but there's something happening here. She had a regular, beautiful teenager face, and now she looks like an undeveloped newborn type of like non-pubertal face. It's absolutely ridiculous. And the tanning, oh my God, you can see what the market demand goes for. I mean, she's literally decided to have herself pass as some kind of Hispanic person with a massive tint, and it's all probably obtained through solar exposition and tanning. Surreal Cola says how she gets so dark. I don't know if there's some Photoshop exaggeration here. But I remember her pretty dark. I didn't know at all that she had a moment of her life like this. I mean, she knows what the market wants and she answers to it. Firestarter says from Wiki, Grande is of Italian descent and has described herself as an Italian American with Sicilian and Abruzzese roots. Yeah, and Italians can tan, but she was definitely not tanned at the beginning when she started all this. Harold sends a super chat. He says, if humans are exposed to cigarettes for long enough, would humans eventually evolve to have no health problems from smoking? This could make future humans look cooler. Definitely, but there are some caveats here. It's very hard to evolve post-reproductive improvements in your phenotype. So the problem is people die from smoking post-reproduction, and in fact, post even their children becoming adult. So as long as a grandparent isn't super important to the evolutionary success of the grandchildren, smoking will keep killing people. The situation you talk about would emerge if it was the case that cigarettes killed people at 20 years old, 25, 30 years old. But in a way, it's pr what probably happened is that we all the situation you describe has already happened, such that people at 20, 30 years old do not die of cigarette smoking. But they die at 60 years old of cigarette smoking because of cancer. So it's already happened, the thing you talk about. People have evolved not to have cancer at 20, not to have cancer at 30, 40, as long as you're useful to your children. And then when your children take a life of their own, you become less and less useful to the evolutionary success of your line and of descent. And then evolution cannot save you anymore. Evolution doesn't care about you dying then. So very very tough to as Richard Dawkins was pointing out in The Selfish Gene, you'd have to artificially deprive people of the right to reproduce before 35 years old. Then you would start evolving for not having cancer between 35 and 40. then you would have to cut people. You can't do babies before 40 years old. And then you would evolve to survive up to 45, 50. Then you would cut further and further into the age range, but that wouldn't be desirable. But that's what we would need to do for evolutionary pressures to follow us into our old age. On The View, Whoopi Goldberg introduces Little Amal, terrifying 12-foot puppet that she calls a powerful symbol of human rights.
Please welcome a powerful symbol of human rights. Her name is Little Amal.
Look at what our society has culminated toward. An exoskeleton for the old white man. This is what's happening. This is an old white male who's probably the only one who has proper puppet control abilities. You know, you need to be kind of an expert at your field to create this 12-foot puppet. This is creepy. But basically, this is a brown exoskeleton for the old white man. This guy, this old white man, could have walked down the stairs. They would have thrown tomatoes to him. You're not a symbol of human right. You are evil. But add a couple of bamboo sticks, hide him in a cage, make him control the empathic behavioral display of a young child, you know, torn by war and suffering in India. And now we're talking. Now it's human rights.
Welcome.
Unbelievable. Go away, says Jeff. This puppet has nothing on /our puppet. Okay, I'll check this video later. I don't know what it is. Dead Star says that complexion is at least 25% admixture. It's somewhere in the range of Ariana Grande 2021, and yeah, Ariana Grande 2020, 2021, India/Italy/Pacific Ocean/native. I don't know. It is just the perfect average mix of all human phenotypes honored. Putin has been making a major speech in which he declares the four regions under occupation who have had referenda. Parts of Russia. He has totally destroyed the West as an empire of dictatorship, of imposing their ideals on others, an empire that relies on denying Russian existence and Russian sovereignty. He has driven into the whole LGBT activism aspect of the West, and he said, "We don't want this. We will have a different world, even if they are trying to impose their stuff on us. We won't let it reach us." And importantly, he has declared that these four regions were now an integral part of Russia, that he would be building hospitals, schools, rebuilding the cities that were destroyed. And that he would use all possible means if these places were attacked, as if Russia itself was attacked. He says the whole unipolar world order is inherently anti-democratic and unfree. It is deceitful and hypocritical, true and true.
Миропорядок по своей сущности антидемократичен и несвободен. Он лжив и лицемерен насквозь.
The United States is the only country in the world that has used nuclear weapons twice, destroying the Japanese cities of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And he says this is a precedent that has been opened by the U.S. itself. Let me also remind you that the United States, together with the British, turned Dresden, Hamburg, Cologne, and many other German cities into ruins without any military necessity during World War II. That is a strong point.
Вместе с англичанами превратили в руины без всякой военной необходимости во время Второй мировой войны Дрезден, Гамбург, Кёльн и многие другие немецкие города.
And this was done demonstratively without any, I repeat, military necessity. There was only one goal, just as in the case of the nuclear bombing in Japan, to intimidate our country and the whole world. Strong words, but absolutely true. It was a great speech. And, you know, the US will have to live with the precedents that it sets. I've never heard anyone other than far-left anti-war activists say that the U.S. should pay for what it has done in the Middle East, for its colonials, for its neo-colonial empire. We haven't heard other countries go at the U.S. for this. And yet, the U.S. has been, across the decades, leading war, depriving peoples of sovereignty, changing people against their will, changing people using secretive means, secretive political attacks, assassination, military operations of all kind, introduction of parties that were submitted to their desires, the American interventionism that has been happening across the world was so much worse than anything that Russia is currently doing in Ukraine. Yet the mainstream media in the US cannot apply some kind of objectivity to the analysis and look at themselves and look at what they've done and what they've participated to in terms of war in the past, and at least look at Russia from these standards. Putin to finalize annexing four regions. Biden says US will never, never, never recognize the annexation. Most Russians alarmed by military call-up. The current territory control of Russia is untouched other than this Kharkiv area, which has been subject of claims that the counteroffensive was successful. However, please notice the border of Luhansk stops here. So unless Vladimir Putin had a project to introduce Kharkiv to the breakaway regions, it was not worth for Putin to defend those grounds. So it's easy to put this part in blue and claim that it's a victory of the Russian army. But the fact is that Luhansk is untouched. As far as we can tell from the stated objectives of the mission, Putin is not interested in passing that line here. So the only place that remains to be conquered to complete this mission would be the internal part of Zaporizhia and Donetsk. So those two white parts here and here, which have never really been penetrated into by Putin. Go away, says two wrongs don't make a right, though, JF. It doesn't in and of itself, but you are allowed to criticize a double standard when you see one. The American media and the American military and intelligence communities are totally into a double standard. And the problem is, if you want to argue in the moral domain and use double standards, but then dress these double standards into cloaks of legitimacy, yes, I will criticize this. I mean, the U.S. has been constantly saying in the last few days that the interventions of Putin break international law. Have you ever heard the U.S. saying, oh yeah, when we do this in South America in the 70s, when we do the Bay of Pigs, when we do the changing of the regime in Iran, when we do the war in Iraq and war in Afghanistan, we are violating international law? Because that's what they've been doing for until since I'm born and since I can remember, the U.S. has been breaking international law on an everyday basis. They are always in a war, and yet they are here today telling us, oh, look at Russia. Russia is violating international law. First, the case isn't very strongly made. I would like to hear what kind of laws are you talking about. Second, whatever Russia is doing right now is much less worse than what the U.S. has been doing for so many decades. U.S. weighs in on Ukraine's NATO membership. Now is the time, says National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan. The U.S. is committed. Now is not the time, sorry. So basically, the U.S. response to Ukraine applying to NATO is that it's not the time. And it's correct. It's not the time. There is a policy for entering NATO. You cannot be a country currently under occupation. You have to be a free country at peace, because NATO doesn't want their countries to bring their problem and basically at the last minute join NATO just to justify being saved by NATO. So that would be a bad stance, and that's the stance in which Ukraine is right now. As long as Ukraine argues that they are entitled to recover these four areas plus Crimea, Ukraine is under occupation, so they cannot join NATO. Now, there could be a trilateral peace treaty all at once where Russia says, okay, you're leaving us the regions we have already conquered. Ukraine says, okay, and then NATO says, okay, well, what's left of Ukraine is not under occupation, so it can join NATO. But as long as Ukraine is in that sense of war, of we're going to get everything back, they cannot join NATO. So even Jake Sullivan, and I'm sure that these people are all extremely enthusiastic at having Ukraine joining NATO to justify an attack on Russia. But he says, right now, our view is that the best way for us to support Ukraine is through practical on-the-ground support in Ukraine, and that the process in Brussels should be taken up at a different time. Earlier in the day, Vladimir Zelensky staged a signing of a membership application to the bloc, claiming Kiev is a de facto ally already and demanding an accelerated accession procedure. Hopefully this doesn't get granted, because if it gets granted, we're already in the U.S. is at war with Russia. Because Article 5, any NATO nations that is invaded, all of the other NATO nations must respond. So if they accept this, it would basically mean that they are choosing to go at war with Russia. And that would be a terrible thing. As far as I'm concerned, I don't think it's a good idea. I mean, a terrible thing. I don't think it would change my life, but I would be sad to see it happen. It wouldn't be a rational decision for the U.S. to say this when, in fact, in the current situation, the U.S. has not much to lose. What? Russia is going to win a little land bridge onto the Black Sea. It's not like it's dramatic for NATO what's happening. So if they can and are willing to keep it a local conflict, there's no reason for them to escalate it. Putin said in his speech, according to Andrew Torba, the West denies moral standards, religion, and family. Do we really want Russia to have parent number 1, 2, 3 instead of mom and dad, and that perversions that lead to degradation and extinction are imposed on children in schools? Supposedly there are some genders except for women and men. For us, this is unacceptable. Putin went on to say that this philosophy of the West is nothing else than open Satanism. I love it. I love that the West gets called out for what it does, because he's truly right. I would love if we had politicians like this in the US and in Canada. It's open Satanism, what you guys are doing. Right on the target, again, it makes one desire to have a Putin-like character in our own politics. Putin declares four annexed regions ours forever, blames US for Nord Stream attack. Oh yeah, that's another thing that he mentioned. That everyone knows that the US is benefiting from this strike and that it was them that must have done it. Of course, it's not a final judgment. They still investigate, but he says it's pretty obvious to everyone that it's the US that has done it. India, China, and Brazil abstain from UN vote condemning Russian annexation. Russia on Friday vetoed a Western bid to condemn its annexations of four occupied Ukrainian regions following controversial referendums, and while this move was expected from the Kremlin, China, India, Brazil, and Gabon abstained. So that was a vote of the Security Council. There was 10 votes to condemn Russia, 4 votes that abstained, so the big countries, India, China, Brazil, and 1 vote against from Russia itself. So because Russia is in the Security Council, they have a veto right. So only their no vote was enough to break the condemnation. That's what happens. The same thing was happening when people were trying to stop the US or slow down the US, at least in its Middle East intervention. And the US was vetoing for itself all the time. So that's how the Security Council works. There would be no Security Council if the countries hadn't been given a full and strong veto right. Rare bright spot, Russia mulling face-to-face nuclear arms treaty talks with the U.S. Russia says it is mulling a face-to-face meeting with U.S. officials in order to discuss the New START nuclear arms treaty, reduction and limitation of strategic offensive arms amid heightened nuclear tensions related to the Ukraine war, in a rare moment of potential good news, given the prior collapse of several U.S.-Russia Cold War-era treaties, which were meant to avoid confrontation between nuclear-armed superpowers. Within the framework of the Commission, a remote discussion continues on what organizational and technical problems need to be addressed. Some of them have been removed, while others have made significant progress. I think it might happen, and I don't think we are on the verge of nuclear war unless the US really wants it and really continues to take all the means to make it happen. I think that Russia has now taken the four regions, and they will wait and watch. They will wait and watch what Ukraine does. If Ukraine can calm down and let Russia continue the progression in Donetsk, and that would be over for this conflict. I think that Russia would settle for what they have already. There might be a little push toward Odessa to complete the connection to Transnistria. This may or may not happen, but I think that Russia must be satisfied with its current level of advancement. It's even beyond the original stated goal, which was DPR and LPR. Now we have DPR and LPR and 2 other regions. But if the Ukrainians keep doing these little sabotage operations with secret NATO intelligence info, if they keep doing this a lot, then Putin might be annoyed and we might see a limited nuclear strike. But currently it's not so much in his interest, because a limited nuclear strike would allow the US to justify actually attacking Russia onto its territory, possibly blowing up their military base, and it would put the American people potentially on the side of their own government for this. Spindly Opinion says he had to take those 2 extra to punish them for not accepting their offer. Yeah, that's very well said and well seen. I think it's this. If you offer something in peace and it's not taken, you need to do more than this. Because if you just take the areas that you had asked in your peace negotiation, then you're saying there's no cost at denying peace to Russia. And now there is a cost. Zaporizhzhia and Kherson, it's a strong cost when you compare to what Ukraine could have had. But then Ukraine is biased by, is skewed. Their decision-making are skewed by the U.S. financial pressure. Because if Ukraine wasn't at war, if they had accepted a peace treaty, they would have never gotten those this flow of billions and billions of dollars. Much more money than Zelensky could have ever dreamed of in any other situation. So we've incentivized war, and we have favored it. Go Away says, we've all seen those embarrassing photos of Zelensky. Well, imagine what we haven't seen and what Biden has. Ukraine will not give up the fight until the US is bored with this conflict. Absolutely, that is true. And so I think, I hope that people get bored. Unfortunately, the media has kept rooting for Ukraine and people have kept rooting for Ukraine in social media. As long as this is going on, the politicians feel absolutely fine sending billions. That's what needs to stop. When you stop this flow, within 2 weeks, you have peace, basically. If Zelensky sees that there's no check coming in 1 month and in 6 months, what do you think the Zelensky does? He makes peace. Russia is flaring less and keeping natural gas in the ground. When the breakup between Russia and the European Union began earlier this year, one of the reasons for the severity of the EU's response to Russia's invasion of Ukraine was the assumption that Russia could not afford for its gas exports to drop. The assumption was an enduring one for oil and gas both. A number of analysts toured the media arguing that if production at an oil or gas field is suspended, this field eventually risks becoming unproductive forever. While this is a valid argument overall, Gazprom appears to have found a way to avoid permanent loss of gas production, and it's not flaring either. In fact, flaring in Russia, a major flarer, is down. So apparently Russia doesn't... I don't know exactly how these wells work, but the flaring practice is to keep the well open even if you really can't carry the oil out, so you burn it in place. Apparently, Russia has lowered its flaring, and so they are confident that they can access the natural resource on a continued timeline. We will now find out what Putin does when it is sovereign Russia that is being attacked. Yeah, that is also a final test that the US must enjoy, because the US will probably try to pick at Russia. Try to pick at these four regions and say, oh yeah, these little passive-aggressive sabotage operation, blowing up something that's Russian, whatever it is. And so they have been given an opportunity for peace. They're probably not going to grab it. And probably the US intelligence community will be very interested at knowing, will Putin really do something big? What is he going to do? Because they will like to measure him to test for future possible conflicts with Russia. What does Putin do when we do the passive-aggressive thing? Which is absolutely sick. It's a toxic and very feminine way to interact with Russia. You know, there's human suffering on the table here, and you guys are like, oh yeah, we're fighting anti-democracy, we're fighting the Russian fascists. You are causing human suffering right now. Be an adult. Putin is reasonable, he's talkable too. You can see in his speech he's openly advocating for peace. Go at the table and negotiate with him. He's not demanding much right now, and he's never been demanding much. First reading, why Beijing is allegedly opening police stations on Canadian soil. Critics say the vaguely named the stations are an extrajudicial way for China to keep tabs on their nationals abroad. Absolutely scandalous. The Chinese government is allowed to operate police stations that are basically not going to apply the local law, but that are going to apply the CCP law, the law of controlled China, on Canadian soil. They say that there's at least 3 police stations already. This is depriving Chinese citizens of Canada of due process. And of course, they're going to be intimidated. And it's also a way to ensure that the immigration population that you send out there from the perspective of China are your assets. And that's very much how I see the Chinese immigration phenomenon. I've been in Chinese families, even because I had a Chinese girlfriend. And I see the kind of work that they get in and the kind of allegiance that they ultimately have to China. And it's something to see. I've never seen this in any other immigrant population. So you have this little police station that's basically a communist police from your original country, and they can punish you by the standard of your original country. This creates little agents, you know, and these immigrant populations will end up serving China when it truly matters. That's what's scary. Raised Fist says, impossible, that's just for the show, they have no authority in Canada. No, you're right, they have no official authority. But if you're a Chinese citizen, you're really concerned about losing your Chinese rights. Because, of course, these Chinese Canadians, they travel back to China. So if the police was catching them doing something that they don't like, they could be punished back in the country when they go see their family. Firestarter says, what authority does these China cops have? Zero officially. That's my point. Zero officially. But they can do a lot of damage to the lives of Chinese Canadians. They can deprive them of due process. They can intervene when they go back to China to see their family. Basically, if you're a Chinese national, you won't want to get in trouble with that police. New Biden vows to ban assault weapons in the U.S.
Together we passed and signed the first meaningful gun safety law in 30 years. Now we're not stopping there. I'm coming back. We are going to ban assault weapons again.
I'm coming back. You can't ban assault weapon in America unless you can change the Constitution. Unbelievable. There's just too many people. The question of, has the right to bear arms been violated if you remove assault weapons from people's hands? Of course it has. And the current U.S. Supreme Court will find that it did violate the Second Amendment right if he passes this. Exclusive, Europe braces for mobile network blackouts. Once unthinkable, mobile phones could go dark around Europe this winter if power cuts or energy rationing knocks out parts of the mobile networks across the region. Russia's decision to halt gas supplies via Europe's key supply route in the wake of the Ukraine conflict has increased the chances of power shortages. In France, the situation is made worse by several nuclear power plants shutting down for maintenance. Europe has a beautiful network of communication, but all of it extremely dependent on energy. So what happens when you have deprived yourself of energy? Ariel Suarez says, is he banning assault knives? Well, the right to bear arms shall not be infringed. I guess that the Second Amendment does apply to knives, right? Because it doesn't say firearms, it says arms. Has there been legal cases about knife bans? Firestarter says there are, in fact, knives bans in the U.S. Well, there are, but there are also gun bans, and they're all unconstitutional. John Drake says they want to use workarounds to ban guns by suing firearm companies into bankruptcy. Yeah, they will make a law like, oh yeah, we don't stop your right to bear arms, but if your child has been killed by a gun, you can sue the firearm company for $5 billion. So the firearm companies will be like, okay, well, every time we sell a gun, we risk losing $5 billion. That's what they will do, something like this, to work around the Second Amendment. Pelosi says farmers need illegal immigrants to pick the crops in Florida. Accidentally based? Pelosi said that there needs to be comprehensive immigration reform. Okay, so she's pissed at the idea that Florida is sending the immigrants north. And she's like, these immigrants need to stay in Florida. Why? Well, because Florida needs them. Well, I guess that the Floridans are probably in a better position to determine if they need them. If they really needed them, they would keep them. Fully vaccinated and boosted, Finland Interior Minister collapses on live television. Another bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. And there are more and more studies coming out of continuing damage to cardiac stuff and blood damage in response to the vaccine, sometimes months after the injection. So who knows? This might be the new normal, that we expect healthy people to just fall. They can't stand up anymore for more than 30 minutes. They eventually lose blood circulation or something like this. DK Shadow says another rare side effect. I mean, for the collector in me, that is a fun thing. If you tell me that something is rare and I can have it, I'm gonna start collecting it. And so I'm gonna start collecting rare side effects of the vaccine. I'm not sure it's as rare as it is made out to be, though. Memphis teacher Elia Fletcher died from a gunshot wound to the back of her head. Autopsy reveals. I mean, it revealed just how cowardly this whole murder is, where he kidnaps a white woman to rape her, kidnap her. He had already been caught kidnapping and threatening with guns. He had done only 20 years out of his 24-year sentence because of clemency and generosity from the local prison who want to get these guys back on the street as soon as possible. So he did exactly the same thing he did 20 years ago. He took a woman. Well, took a person because 20 years ago he had taken a liar. I'm not sure it was a woman. Threatened her with a gun, tried raping her, and because she was fighting back, he shoots her in the back of the head. So it's really a murder against an unarmed individual. It's cowardly. It sucks. It's not necessary at all. And we could have avoided all of it just if the guy had spent the exact amount that he was given by the judge. Puzim says, wow, 20 years is a lot, would have been 7 to 10 years in France. Yes, but there is something about the American judiciary that was good, which is there was harsh punishment, at least by the standard of Canada, France. The US was giving good sentencing. But the US has been taken over because even if the judge still gives good sentencing, they don't do it. They have these social workers coming in and saying, oh, he's been washing the dishes in prison. So he's fully rehabilitated. Why are we keeping him in prison? And they have all these arguments of leftism, like we're spending so much money. We would spend so much less money in the prison system if they were out. And ultimately, these guys are held in the prison system to profit so that the company hosting the prison can profit from them, Well, there you go. It wasn't just profit. This guy was dangerous and should have been held as long as his sentence was. Just kidding. Biden yanks student loan forgiveness from 770,000 borrowers. Wow. That is bizarre. For something that was basically a vote-buying opportunity, you wouldn't want to reveal before the election to these people that you won't reimburse their student debt as you promised. So it all has to do with a special subset of student loans, the Perkins loans and the federal family educational loans. They are an older generation of loans, so it's for students who were students many years ago. Eventually, it got moved to control under the Department of Education. But back then, it was loans that the bank was giving, private banks. They were giving the loans, and the government was giving the guarantee to the private bank that it would be paid back. So, Biden has decided, apparently, that, oh no, the loans we forgive are only those of the Department of Education. So it will be for the younger generations of loan, more recent ones. But there are people who still have their loans from 10, 20 years ago that they're not going to see a dollar reimbursed from it just because they're held at a private bank. That sucks. That is, I guess that this might eventually lead to lawsuits, kind of, you know, equal protection of law. Why is it that I'm punished basically because I'm born in 1980 instead of 1986? That's basically what it boils down to. That's just wild. CNN eagerly reports Jenny Thomas remains unrepentant on the 2020 election. So people are going after the wife of Clarence Thomas, Jenny Thomas, who is an activist who believes that the 2020 election was stolen. And she spoke freely. And now the January 6th committee is interviewing her. She has decided to voluntarily walk to the January 6th committee and accept to be interviewed. We're not seeing any of this, but she was smiling as she got in. And I don't know, would it lead to a public testimony? I don't know if she should engage with this. She was probably trying to make it clear that she has done nothing wrong. But with the Democrats, you've always done something wrong. So anything that she could say will be used against her. I don't think she can clear her name. The Democrats are after everyone, and they don't have a concept of fairness. So if I was her, I would just have rejected this offer. Listen, guys. Are you ready? I'm going to show it on the screen. It's bizarre, though. It's the most beautiful, the most sexy 54-year-old woman I have ever seen. Okay, are you guys ready? I mean, it is impressive. I have to say the technology has gotten amazing. At this point, though, there's the ship of Theseus question. How much of her has been replaced? But this is the Donna Derrico, the original Baywatch actress, super beautiful back in the Baywatch days. Look at this for a 54-year-old. I mean, she's beautiful. People are saying, please don't, please don't. There is, basically, you wouldn't know that she's 54 years old. The technology of breast inflation, skin work, she's basically all plastic. But she looks beautiful. Yeah, she is 54. I have verified this. I mean, look at her face. It's not just the body and the boobs. Her face has been totally youngified. But 54-year-old, I have never seen this. Now it's dangerous. You don't want to be attracted to her too much because they don't have the technology to make her eggs younger. But she looks younger. So she was taunting people on Instagram because they were saying you're too old to pose in bikini, and she's taken the challenge. John Drake says she is barren, so it doesn't mean anything. Yes, it is definitely fake breast and everything, and it's all deceptive, ultimately. If you are activated as a male by this view, you are getting deceived because you're activated because your penis thinks that there's a way to have babies with this woman, when in fact there is none. Thousands stuck on cruise ships after hurricane shattered Florida ports. This will be our last news item for today. So people are stuck on these cruise ships and they cannot return. They are reporting on Twitter. I'm stuck on a cruise ship, by the way. Isn't that fun? Currently in the middle of the sea, stuck on a cruise ship because of Hurricane Ian. Me and my girl are stuck on this cruise ship due to the storm, and I'm about to lose it. Send the PJ, the CIA, the FBI, somebody, anybody, please. Well, get fucked, enjoyers of sea cruise pleasures. Your cruises suck. I would never go on them. You pay for what you've done. You have chosen to get onto the ocean. You stay there until it's safe to come back. Quite. Sends $41. Thank you so much for the support. He says, Jeff, I've been meaning to ask you this for a long time now. For the last three to four months, the last two beats of the end credit song go down in volume. They didn't do that before. Why was this change done? It really irritates me, even more than the fact that the song ends one beat short. Does it, though? It's not supposed to have changed. I haven't touched it. I may have accidentally retouched it. It was not intentional. Anyways, you've told it to me now, next time I refresh the credits, which should be very soon, I will put the names of the current donors of the Patreon and Subscribestar. I'll do this week. So, I will check if the last beat, I've always had to hide it. You know why? Because it continues. It's not the end of the song. So I had to lose a little bit of the last beats, but maybe I can squeeze the audio fade in to a place where you will be most satisfied. I will definitely try to do this because I wouldn't want... I know how it feels to have an incomplete finish, and I know people love watching JFG Tonight and going to sleep, and now it's like you're listening to the charming voice of Papa JF, you're slowly going into deep sleep, and then, ba-bam! And then you feel this lack of a music that continues, and then you wake up. I will certainly be extremely attentive to what could have changed. I'm going to try squeezing the fade in, but I have to fade, and I have to make it not perfect simply because I'm playing with a song that continues on a high. Like, when I shut it down, actually right after, like a fraction of a second later, they start... And so I don't want this. That is it for tonight, boys. Much love, and I will see you all tomorrow. Oh, and White sends $31. He says... The end of the show is my favorite. Yeah, I kind of master the art of the end of the show, you know? On the internet, there is so few of these YouTubers who actually know how to do it, especially live ones. When you do audio, when you do video editing, it's easy to cut wherever is the right place and it's dynamic. But people forget that the end of a show also must exist live. And too many live streams out there finish by the guys are like, I guess it's the end. I don't know. Did you have anything else to say? No, I don't have anything else to say. Thank you.